Here's another one. When worship time is over, so is testimony time. Because when worship time is over, I'm thinking in the morning here in particular, but when worship time is over, that's time for Mr. Weller to get up and pray for all our prayer requests, and then for Pastor to share his word. And we should never, ever get up after the meeting, after Pastor has spoken. Because when the pastors have shared the word God has given to them, we need to then take what we've heard and seek the Lord about it. Deal with the Lord about that thing. When someone else speaks, now that's on your mind, instead of the word of God that was shared with you. And so it's important that we take these little things and try and apply them to help bring in a greater atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." That doesn't mean the Holy Ghost can't break out in a meeting. The Holy Ghost can break out in a meeting. But we should be careful to not interrupt, not be out of sync with what the Holy Ghost wants to do. It's important that we set the right environment. Here's another one. Some of you will remember times in past when it was like the Holy Ghost would break out. And you ever come into a meeting where, come in, because all of a sudden you realize, oh, there's something here. The Lord's here. The presence of the Lord is in the place. And everybody is sitting dead silent because there is a hush of the Holy Spirit in the room. You know what can break that? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That can break that hush the Holy Spirit has brought in. So we just need to be mindful and careful to recognize when the Holy Ghost is in the room, when the Lord is wanting to pour in. And you know, we don't need to have someone always talking or singing or making noise. Actually, the Lord can do a great and mighty work within our hearts when we're sitting quiet. It's amazing what the Lord can do when we're willing to take those moments and run with them, so to speak. Praise the Lord. So, what gifts should we ask for? We know we need to go after God first. First and foremost, one to me of the most important gifts of the Spirit, I'll call it a gift, is the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's something that is separate from receiving the Holy Ghost when we're born again. And I'm going to show you that through some scripture. John 20:22. We were speaking this week in Wednesday morning Bible study about John chapter 20, and this is part of what we read. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I'm going to read one more before I talk about this, and it's Genesis 2:7. "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." The word breath in the Greek is pneuma. Pneuma, meaning breath or spirit. In the Oxford Dictionary, it says it this way: pneuma is connected etymologically. Okay, I'm going to use words we actually will understand. The only two in the room might be Clayton and Sunil that got that. not saying anybody is dumb. I'm dumb. The actual meaning for that is with a true sense of the word. So pneuma is connected with a true sense of the word, breathe or blow, and has basic meaning of air in motion or breath as something necessary to life. In Greek tragedy, it is used of the breath of life, and it is the spirit of the New Testament. So what I want to try and show you here is that from the very beginning, God breathed into man. Not only breathed life, or breathing, standing, walking, talking, he breathed the spirit into mankind. We didn't know good and evil at that point. We had a spirit, soul, and body. It was man that took and stepped out of that, sinned in the garden, and stepped down and away. God said very clearly, when you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. Spiritual death. The Spirit died within us. We are not born as babies with the Holy Spirit within. It is the day we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit comes and causes us to be born again, because that part of us died in the garden. Now, here we are, and the disciples, John chapter 20, you don't have to go back there, says that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The first Adam took away that gift that we had of the Spirit. The second Adam, Christ, he went and got back the keys of hell and death, and he breathed life back into us. And he started with the disciples. Can you imagine that day, how exciting that would have been for them? Here they are. They've just lived the last 3.5 years with this man, God. And not only have they lived with him, but they've heard every teaching that he's had. They've seen every miracle that he's done. You know, in one spot it tells us in the scriptures that if they would have written down every miracle, everything that Jesus had done, there wouldn't be enough room for the books in the world. That's a lot of miracles. I can't even fathom that. And that's just in the 3.5 years while he was here. Praise the Lord. I can't wait to meet people and hear what he did for them. We have eternity to find out. Praise God. I'm guessing at that very moment, when he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," they were caused to be born again. The first born-again believers on planet Earth. Wow. They had received the seal of God, his Holy Spirit. That must have been such an amazing moment for them. They were given an even greater gift. Not only were they given the gift of living with Jesus for those years, now they had Jesus living within, his Spirit living within. They got to witness Jesus in his resurrected body. They could see the holes from the nails in his wrists. They could see the nails, holes from the nails in his feet, and the hole that pierced his side, the spear. Praise the Lord. They got to experience all of it. I'm a little jealous. And now they were going to be the first of billions to experience having his Spirit living and breathing within them. That was lost in the garden. This morning we heard about the Garden of God. Well, we're back to the Garden of God and we've got life again. And the dead vines are gone because he's plucked them out, praise the Lord. And he's busy pruning the rest of the tree as it becomes fruitful. Hallelujah. So here were the disciples, and it was just the tip of the iceberg for them. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' After he had breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Spirit." Now we're at a whole different time and a whole different day, and he's telling them to go to Jerusalem, not to depart from Jerusalem, sorry, but wait for the promise of the Father, because he was going to baptize them with the Holy Spirit not many days from there.